Welcome to Outlander with Friends podcast, where we talk about our favorite Outlander episodes, favorite whiskeys, and all the other bits that nobody wants to talk about.
This podcast is not for the faint of heart, so if you've read about it or watched it, we're going to talk about it.
Clutch your pearls and pour a dram. It's time for Outlander with Friends.
Welcome back.
We're here.
We got season two. What episode are we doing tonight?
Episode 7, Faith.
Yes. This was a hard episode to get through. I'm not going to lie. I cried a lot. I always cry. I don't know why. Every time I've watched this episode and I know what's going to happen, I still cry. And then I get angry. And then I get happy. It's a lot of emotions.
I'm usually sad when I watch the episode, but watching it in depth this time hit me harder than it has hit me in the past. Probably since the first or second time through that I've watched the series, this rewatch hit me a lot harder.
Yeah, it was deep.
It was really deep.
There's just so many sad parts.
Oh, there was. All the way from the beginning to the end, I thought it was pretty sad. Even though I will probably say some flippant remarks about some parts of it. like when we get to the last bit with the prince or the king, it's a pretty rough one to watch.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So what did you choose as your whiskey to pair this one with, Terry?
I am drinking Angel's Envy tonight.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Yeah, the Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. No special expression or anything. Finished in port barrels. You know, the whole Mother Hildegard thing and all the religious symbolism in the episode. I thought, I've got to go that way with Angel's Envy. It seemed appropriate. So that's what I did.
What are you having, Meg?
I was just... This is honestly the second time I've had this. So I don't know too much about it, but
which one is it?
So it's Heaven's Door 10-year.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Oh, wonderful. Isn't that Bob Dylan's whiskey? Or am I thinking of the wrong thing?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. I literally bought some last week. It's so good.
Yeah, it is Bob Dylan's. Compared to the other whiskeys that I was having that night, it was subpar, but I can't wait to try it again because I probably will love it. I will be honest with you. I feel like I'm kind of piggybacking off of Terry doing the Heaven's Door and Faith. And, you know, she's in God's hands. She's with the angels and all that. But
I
wanted to do Blue Run because I love Blue Run.
Oh, yeah.
I think Blue Run stuff might even be at the auction. Like, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. But my husband drank it all.
Oh.
Oh, man. Mine are packed up somewhere.
Yeet the whole man into the volcano.
All right, so I definitely went a different route.
Let's listen.
I went a different route with my choice tonight for whiskeys. I'm going to show you the bottle, and then you can guess why I picked it. Can you see that?
Is that Rip?
Yeah, the 10-year. So on the label, it has a picture of Master Ramon.
Oh, what?
It's just a wizard, right? I thought that was kind of cool. So... in honor of Master Raymond, I chose the old Rip Van Winkle 10-year.
That's great.
So obviously a lot of it is gone. I did not drink it. My brother-in-law at my sister-in-law's wedding, this was actually in the trunk of my vehicle because I think I was going to wrap it up, or I don't know why I had it in the trunk of my vehicle, but my husband and my brother-in-law were like, oh, let's celebrate. And they drank quite a bit of it. So this is... going to be my first time actually drinking it.
Can I tell you a story of the last time that I left a bottle of whiskey in my car? First of all, it's Phoenix, and you should not do that ever in Phoenix. Second of all, it tipped over. It spilled all over the carpet in the back seat. Luckily, it was only $17.92, so it wasn't something rare
only
or anything like that I was really going to miss. But man, my car smelled like a still for weeks. That was so bad.
Weeks. Especially like
question
when it's
one.
Hot, all the ethanol just going up.
Did you get pulled over?
No.
At
thankfully,
any point.
I did not get pulled over.
Question two. Were you hungover at any point during that time? Because I'm pretty sure I would have barfed in my passenger seat.
That did not happen. So I can't guarantee that I was not.
Because, like, you can't even keep the windows rolled up.
Yeah, I can't roll the windows down in Phoenix summer. I mean, this was last summer. But I didn't think that whiskey expanded with the heat. And I'm pretty sure it did expand with the heat. And that's why the cork popped out and it spilled all over because it was just laying on its side. But
It does because of the barrels. Think about the barrels, how they expand and they contract, mm-hmm. and that's how they go in and out of the staves and the barrel. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, damn. Now you tell me, Meg.
I heard it gets really, really hot in Arizona. Like, you can, like, bake cookies in your car kind of hot.
I can vouch. I can vouch. I can't even put my phone in the little holder where the sun shines on it through the window. You know, like when you get in an Uber and they've got their
oh yeah
heads-up display? You can't do that in Phoenix because your phone will burn up and start to melt, and or it will shut down and tell you it's too hot. Even if you have the air conditioning vent blowing directly on the back of your phone, forget it. You can't do that. You can't leave any lipstick in your car. You can't leave anything edible.
I can't live in a place where those type of things happen.
Well, I don't live that's in a place crazy. Where it snows and there's ice storms. So that's the trade-off.
All right. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
Yes. I did not take notes on this episode, but I have it playing in the background. So first of all the props to Katrina Balfe in this episode. Not that she didn't deserve it before or now, because she absolutely did, but this woman is acting her ass off. And it came back to me again when she was, I mean, the emotion conveyed about losing your child is unfathomable, and she really makes you feel it. So all the kudos, all the acting awards should go to her for this episode of this show. My God. Fight me.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, you know, so like last season I said if there was ever a moment that showcased an actor's talent, Sam had Wentworth Prison and To Ransom a Man's Soul. Those were, in my opinion, some Emmy-worthy performances. But I will tell you that this episode right here, I don't know why she didn't win her first Emmy for this performance. Mm-hmm. From the beginning to the end of this, all the way to the credits, her acting was phenomenal. I felt rage, inconsolable despair. You know, she gave it all in this episode. And I was like, man, because I don't typically cry, especially when I know it's not real. But she really puts you in the moment. I don't have kids. I've never been in the situation that she was in. So I'm like, mm-hmm. man, that really sucks. But to actually feel that loss with her, I was freaking crying. I was like, that sucks, man. And for all the things that happened afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Fergus, too.
But I do like how, God. Yeah, right? I do like how the producers kind of gave us that little snippet in the beginning with Brianna and Claire in the future. To kind of take the blow from what...
Oh, what a fake out. Oh my God.
Yeah, another fake out. But it kind of took a blow from what...
I had not read the books when I saw this episode the first time. So I was like, what the... Oh my God, her and her baby went back to the future. La, la, la.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I feel like they did that to kind of lessen the blow of what was about to happen next. I felt like, oh, okay, this is going to be kind of interesting. But no, it did not go down that way.
Did not lessen the blow.
So...
No.
No, it hurt.
Didn't make it any easier.
Mm-mm. It was a gut punch.
I am so bummed that there was no... Well, I guess there kind of was some blue light, but the whole thing with her blue aura with Master Raymond, that's why he calls her Madonna, because he sees her aura. And the theory behind that is that she's not only a time traveler, but she has the healing powers as well. And those are two different things, but they may be related, but we probably will never find that out unless Diana gets time to write the book about Master Raymond. But I wish they'd play that up a little bit more in the show.
Why do I feel like did we see a blue light, or was that in the book? Was that described in the book? Because I feel like I saw that.
I'm rewatching it off to the side right now. And when Master Raymond comes to her in the hospital and he's trying to fix the infection and the fever that is killing her, she sees a blue heron or a heron flying with a blue sky behind it. It's all fuzzy and dreamlike, but that might be what you're remembering. The blue light isn't really... It's sort of in the shot, but the whole scene is just kind of washed. Well, the whole scene in the hospital is just kind of washed out, color washed, so that it's not black and white, but not vibrant. And there is a little bit of a blue cast to the light there, but it isn't. I don't really think it stands in for the blue light of healing.
It does have kind of a blue tint, though.
Yeah, I think maybe it's further along in the books, because Roger has that same moment, doesn't he? With the guy in the cabin when...
Yeah, he sees it with the healer guy when he goes back to the 1730s.
I think that's what I was thinking of.
Don't even get me started on that. I am so freaking dying to see season 7. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
So I want to go back a little bit. It bugs me, right? Because Black Jack Randall is not fucking dead again.
Again.
And it seems like they always have to go through some fucked up shit in order for them to realize the past does not want to be changed. There's so many things that keep happening to you when you try to change things. It's so catastrophic. But yet she keeps changing little small things. So this is what it reminded me of. And I don't know if you guys have read this book. It's called 11-22-63 by Stephen King. It's about what if Kennedy had not been assassinated.
No.
Right. I'm not through the book. I had it checked out for a while and I haven't finished it.
But yeah, the same thing that Claire and Jamie is trying to do, this guy is trying to do in this book. And the craziest shit keeps happening because he keeps trying to change things in the past to affect the future. And the past is like fighting back. So anyways, if you want to, I recommend that you read it. But just like Diana, Stephen King does not pull punches. This book has got some crazy shit going on in it, and it's very descriptive. So prepare yourself. That's what this whole thing reminded me of when I was, why do you guys have to go through so many things for you to realize that it's not going to work? Black Jack Randall has like 9 lives. That alone should have told Claire that their ultimate plan was not going to work. I said that in the last season. I'm saying it again now. Why is it so hard for her to just grasp that maybe this is not a good idea? That's all I got.
He's going to die when he's supposed to die. That's it.
Right. And you already told him.
Leave it alone.
So the TLDR is that Stephen King ripped off Diana Gabaldon.
That's fair. I don't know who wrote what first, but at least he put some logic behind it. He's
11-22-63 just came out.
I mean, I read it a few months back, but I will say that at least in this book, he shows you the result of what you did. I don't want to spoil the book, but you get to see what happens if you do change the past and succeed versus, and then maybe you'll get a chance to go back in time and fix it. I don't know. But anyways,
sounds creepy.
It is creepy.
It's a good book. I listened to it on audio, so I like the narration version of it. But moving right along.
Yeah.
So not only I think everybody acting in this episode is just superb. Without any words, this scene where Claire returns to the house and Fergus comes to the hospital to collect her because Jamie's still in the Bastille and she's so pissed at him and she's so sad, but she comes home and every servant in the house is outside waiting for her and there's no words spoken at all. And it just makes you want to break down and weep with all the feeling that these people put across their faces. I don't know how people do this. How do you turn that on and off like that? That's amazing.
I did notice something though, and maybe you can rewind what you're watching right now, but when Suzette, is that her name? The maid reaches out to her and says, you know, condolences or whatever. Claire just ups and ignore her. But when she gets to Magnus, she's all like bowing to him and shit. What was that all about?
Well, Magnus was the one who went with her to the woods and presumably took her to the hospital when she actually started miscarrying.
Yeah.
So
we're just going to act like Suzette had not been taking care of her up until that point. Like, aside from screwing around with Murtaugh, she cleans for her, she cooks for her, she rubs her feet, she makes her bath, she makes her bed, and you can't even acknowledge that she just wished you sincere condolences for your loss? This woman is bawling right next to you, and she just like...
She just cried at your feet, literally.
Right. And then she just walks past her like, yeah, okay, whatever, bitch.
That's fair.
I was kind of annoyed by that. I'm not going to lie. I was just like, that was kind of shitty. But all right. Boo-hoo. I'm still sad.
Didn't think about it. Now I'm going to have to rewatch this again.
Yeah. So after watching it 3 or 4 times, it stuck out to me because I was like, why did she feel like that was not a moment to say something to her? This woman, I think out of all the servants, she spends the most time with Claire. And she knows Claire because she's even like, I know you ain't having sex with your man. So that type of intimate knowledge that you have about your mistress, and she can't even acknowledge your sorrow for her loss. That was kind of shit, but whatever. I'll get off her back. I know it's a sad moment. But I also would like to, I was just moving on to Fergus when she interrupts his nightmare.
Mm. So sad.
So I just have a question, because it seemed like in the show that Fergus was not like a boy whore.
Right.
But like in the book, it suggested otherwise, right? Because it talks about how he had told Marcelle these things about how he used to sell himself for food and stuff. So I'm kind of confused. Like, did they just omit that, or?
Yeah, you're correct. It was that way in the book. I think from the age of about 6, he was participating in the activities at the brothel because he was raised there his entire life and presumably had to earn his keep. I'm not really sure why he began doing that, but I'm sure they just wanted to sanitize that a little bit more for the TV show. And lots of people think they didn't sanitize it quite enough. I've read some articles about behind the scenes and how Roman Burra, how he was protected as much as possible during the filming of the scenes. His mom was present. There was never actually an actor directly behind him. Anyway, I'm not going to go too deep into that. People still thought that it was too graphic.
Yeah, there's a lot of uncomfortable moments in this TV series. And I imagine it's the same way in other series too, because I mean, if you're watching it on cable, it's going to be graphic because there's a lot of assault happening in the books and in the series. So
it's just so much different when it's a child.
Well, if you think about it, Jamie, Claire, Brianna, young Ian, Fergus, they've all been through the same thing. That's a point of contention people have with Diana. Like, why do you keep doing this to your characters? And I've seen panels where she's been like, I don't have a problem doing that to my characters. I want to see what they do after bad things happen to them.
It does seem like no one is safe. But also, to be fair, she's not making it up. You know what I mean? This is not something that she's like, oh, let me throw gratuitous rape and assault in this. This is real. It happened. It happens a lot. Mm-hmm.
It does happen a lot.
It happened a lot back then because people didn't really care about women and children back then.
True.
Right.
But I will say now, they're both triggered by the smell of lavender. So that sucks.
When he pulled out that perfume.
Oh, man. That's so crazy. So I want to make sure I don't. Claire, when she went through the stones, she was going back for a flower. And it was a purple plant, wasn't it? It wasn't lavender, was it?
No, it was forget-me-nots.
Oh, yeah.
It was purple, though. Purpley blue.
I couldn't remember.
That would be too creepy.
Well, we'll move past that. I was just kind of curious what you guys thought.
It's not
about
the same plant. The location where they film the trees, not the twin trees or the trees that mark the edge of Fraser's Ridge in North Carolina, the spot in Scotland where they film that is like a nature preserve. And in the spring, it blooms with, I believe, forget-me-nots. No, it's bluebells. I am wrong. The whole meadow near where you park and you have to walk through it to go see the trees deep in the woods, the whole meadow is blooming with bluebells, which is something that I will have to go back and see one of these days.
I bet that's so pretty.
Sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, so that happens with Fergus, and then Claire decides that, okay, I gotta go get my man. Even though I still, and I know, I'm just gonna say it, I don't care. This is a thing that bugs me about the first couple seasons. I know that Claire is trying to save Frank's life, and I'm still trying to figure out her sense of loyalty to him at this point. You're never going back in your mind. So why do you care if Frank exists? Because you decided to stay? Well, it won't matter if he lives or dies. Does it help you sleep at night to know that you did your part, even though you left this man in the future wondering for the rest of his life where the fuck you're at? So you're putting all of these stipulations on your relationship with Jamie because you're like, oh, well, let's let this fucking villain live, even though he's done all this nasty shit to everybody, because I really want Frank to live. You're never going to know if he lives unless you decide you're going to go back to the future and check and then come back, which she had no plans of doing. That's the one thing that bothers me the most. And it bothered me a lot in this episode because I could see Jamie looking at what happened. Like, he caught Black Jack Randall in the act of doing this to Fergus. And he has his own guilt because Fergus wouldn't even have been in that situation had he not even brought him there. And then he's got to keep his word to Claire. So he struggled with that. But he was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to kill this dude. And then she's like, I'm blaming all of this on you. Like, what the hell? Yeah. How is that fair? It's kind of like when she was trying to bust him out of jail and she kept hitting the lock with the with the hammer. How you just went off like, that's my rant. Like, why are you messing with him like that? Why are you fucking with this man? You cannot ever know if something could happen to him in the future. You know, he might end up not making it past the first day. So why don't you just live with the fact that he's alive right now because you left and went to the past. So you know he exists. That should have been enough for you. Not let's not kill Black Jack Randall so we can ensure that this man has a baby with somebody else.
Damn, that's a good point.
I think that was stupid and I hate it.
I don't know why I don't think of these things until you bring them up, but now you really make me reconsider.
No.
this is what keeps me up at night.
I have more pleasant thoughts keeping me up at night usually.
There's so many problems in the world and I'm wondering why this bitch won't just let us kill him.
You know what kept me up at night? Not really. But what bothered me?
Yeah, what's that?
The hospital scene at the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, this is going to be medical. She calls it puerperal fever.
Yeah.
It's retained placenta. That's all that is. I looked it up. I was like, what the hell is puerperal fever? A history record only in the 18th century, about 1760 to 1850. It's recognized as early as the Hippocratic times. Mm-hmm. Retained placenta causes a bacterial infection, causes sepsis.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what type of bacteria it is? What do we test for before we have babies?
Gestational. I don't know. I've never had a kid.
Group B strep.
Really?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, the most common bacteria is most likely, even in those times, group B strep.
Wow.
Is that what she was experiencing?
Yeah. So you know how Master Raymond went in, and I don't even know how he did this because your cervix is closing up after you have the baby. But I guess since she has retained placenta, technically it wouldn't want to close up. But he stuck his fist up in her uterus and pulled out retained placenta.
All the way to the elbow.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say this since you brought it up? I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
A couple of things, right? When you're pulling out a placenta, I don't know, just guessing, not a medical professional. So anybody wants to at me, by all means do so. If you're sticking your hand up in somebody's thing and you're pulling out their placenta, I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of blood because you're literally detaching the rest of the tissues. And then my dude just walks off when he hears them coming, right? And I'm like, where did the thing go? Did he just drop it on the bed? And his hands are clean. Wait. So I'm like, what happened there? Did he wipe it on the blanket? I know this is dumb, but I thought about that.
Are his hands clean? Oh my God.
Because you know he's in there mixing herbs and playing with chicken blood and all this other stuff. And she's got a bacterial infection. Like he went all the way to the elbow. He's a small man though, so I guess it really wasn't that far.
All right, let me add to this. And then she said, I could feel it releasing from my body every single piece of bacteria. And you're like, nah, you would have been dead by then. Sepsis. Ain't you no don't way. Just pull out the placenta and then your infection's gone.
I'm healed.
It does not happen like that. Jesus.
She had a whole
on top of that, Raymond has been to the future.
It was a miracle.
Which we find out later. I mean, dude knows about washing your hands. He knows about germ theory.
That's what I'm saying. There was so much happening in that moment. I was just like, oh, so we're gonna act like you didn't just stick your hands all the way into her coochie. And you didn't even
Oh God.
Oh, where was the placenta that he pulled out? No,
I don't want to know.
Where was it at? I didn't see it. I don't know. I just, you brought it up. I didn't. I just wanted to ask a question about it.
This is my fault. Okay. I see how this is going to go.
I'm just saying.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Are you tired of sleepless nights? Do you need a remedy to rid yourself of life's personal or maybe business-related annoyances? Look no further than Master Raymond's Apothecary. We have everything you could possibly need for your health and well-being. From herbs and decoctions to magical artifacts, we have it all. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try our valerian root tincture, a powerful sedative that can help you fall asleep and stay asleep. Or perhaps you need something to calm your nerves and relax your mind. Our lavender oil can do just that. But that's not all. We also have potions that can help protect you from evil spirits and cure a variety of ailments. Our crystal pendants are highly prized for their ability to ward off harm, while our vial of crocodile's blood can heal even the toughest of afflictions. So what are you waiting for? Come on in and start feeling better today. Master Raymond's Apothecary, where magic meets medicine. Discretion guaranteed. Results are not guaranteed. Due to unfortunate circumstances, Master Raymond's Apothecary will no longer carry lavender oil.
And now, back to the show.
But that was my keep me up at night kind of thing, because it's kind of like when you watch Grey's Anatomy and they have on a nasal cannula and it's not attached to oxygen in the wall of the hospital. It's kind of like that for me.
No, I got one better for you, Meg.
I have
How about watching House?
I've never noticed that.
I love it. I love watching House.
I will tell you, after the first 5 or 6 episodes, I was calling shots. I knew exactly what we needed to do. We needed to do a needle decompression, a spinal tap. They had the same prognosis for every single thing that walked through there. And House was like, you need to do this. Let's cut his throat open and put a trash bag down there. Like some crazy shit. And I'm like, why is this an oak? Is anyone believing this shit? Like this guy, I mean, he literally will be eating cottage cheese and he's like, I've got it. Like, what?
That's totally how that happens.
Mm-hmm. I know. I just.
Medically proven method of diagnosis.
Cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese will bring it to you, man.
Oh my God.
So we go back to the hospital and Claire's like, I need an in with the king. I need to go get my man out of jail, right? And ooh. Mother Hildegard is like, you know you're going to have to fuck, right? The way that Claire didn't even blink.
I was going to say that. Goes back to what I was saying about Katrina deserves all the awards, particularly for this episode. She goes from the grief, the hysteria, the devastation that she shows us when she's in the hospital to the second half of the whole episode. She is so tied down. Her emotions are fiercely controlled. And I love watching that as much as I loved watching her break apart into pieces at the first half. But everything from talking to Mother Hildegard to talking to King Louis to being in the Star Chamber. She's playing up a little bit of theatricality when she's in the Star Chamber with Comte Saint-Germain and Master Raymond. But that's because it is part of an act. She knows that what she's doing is not really divining anything with any kind of magic. And then it moves on later when Jaime gets out of the Bastille. But the emotions are so tightly controlled, but you can see the strain that it's costing her to keep them that way. And I'm so impressed. I'm so fucking impressed by this acting.
What do you think? When is Claire's birthday? October 31st or something?
No, is it the 4th or the 20th or the 18th? Somebody's going to know. Somebody's going to correct me.
It's somewhere in October, right?
Yeah.
What astrological sign is she? I don't know them well enough. Can somebody Google that real quick?
October 20th.
20th. Okay, so she's a Scorpio. She's on the cusp, I think.
She is a Libra.
Libra? Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm so far off.
She's a Libra?
Balanced, considerate, intelligent, great listener. Yeah, she's a Libra.
I think that this episode plays out all of her astrological characteristics. She goes through a range of emotions. I love it. In this one episode.
Wouldn't that be wild? Because the Star Chamber is in this episode.
That's what made me think about it when you said that.
Highly appropriate. Oh my God.
See, wow. I'm telling you, I'm in Diana's head, man. Or she's in mine.
Did y'all notice how beautiful when they did kind of like the aerial view of the entire chamber?
Oh yeah.
It was so neat.
How gorgeous it was.
Oh my God.
First of all, damn Louis. He tricked me, just like he tricked Claire. Because I was like, oh, he about to get away with this shit. No. We got some other business to take care of first.
Nope. Now you have to pay me. He made it seem like he was asking the favor of her judgment as La Dame Blanche as payment for letting Jaime out of the Bastille.
That would have been too easy.
Nope, that was just a favor. Mm-mm. Now the king owes you a favor.
You know what really gets me about this episode? Well, actually this series, the one thing that I guess Diana made me appreciate. So my only like exposure to witches and stuff like that is reading about the witch trials in Salem. So that was like recent modern history, I suppose you could say. But I didn't really appreciate how terrifying that is. Women that even have a knowledge of something, women that know how to read, women that have discernment, women that know how to critically think, were considered a witch. So when she walks into this chamber, I thought that's what he thought about her. Like, oh, I heard you were La Dame Blanche. We're about to go. she was about to get persecuted. That's what I thought when he pulled her back there. And I was like, damn, this is the second time she's about to get rolled up for being a witch. Like, she cannot. Right?
Yeah.
You got to dumb it down a little bit, Claire. You can't be throwing out medical terms that we know that you shouldn't know as a nurse. But okay. So anyways, when they go in there, I really thought that he was about to get her. I was like, damn, that really sucks. And then it made me really appreciate the fact that you really have to be careful about the things that you do so people don't misinterpret your intent.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that...
You have to mask your knowledge.
Right. I don't know that Master Raymond was doing voodoo shit, because I didn't get that impression when he was telling her about the bitter cascara and how he really doesn't really sell poisons and charms. He just makes people believe that, because people will honestly believe anything because the population writ large are ignorant, and it's meant to be that way. That's how you have kings and queens for several generations, because they keep the population ignorant and then no one questions anything. Now, Saint-Germain, on the other hand, definitely was out there doing some fucked up shit. And I will say this last thing about him. I hate the fact that she still tried to save his ass in the end. Why? That's like with Black Jack Randall. Why do you keep trying to save these fucking villains? They all have tried to kill you or rape you or do something mean to your spouse. Like, why the fuck do you keep trying to save these people? I don't get it. Rant over.
Too much ingraining of being a decent human being, I guess.
No, do she's no harm. Pulling that shit from the future.
Well, she doesn't have the Hippocratic oath on her yet. I just thought of that now. I'm like, yeah, she really should have taken out Blackjack and Comte Saint-Germain before she took the Hippocratic oath as a doctor. She didn't promise yet.
But she was a nurse, and nurses take oaths.
She was
like
applying
that.
Future principles to past situations. You can't have the same morals. I mean, you can, but things have changed. You've already accepted the fact that you're going to be in the past. So you got to play by those rules. And those rules say, if you got an opportunity to do it, you better get it done, because he's going to come back after you, like Black Jack Randall has. And Saint-Germain had, what, 2-3 opportunities to get her? And he tried and he succeeded, but she didn't die. And she didn't get raped. And she didn't get, she didn't get poisoned. But like, he definitely was going to keep trying until he accomplished what he wanted, just like Black Jack Randall was going to keep going after Jamie until he accomplished what he wanted. So why do you keep trying to save these men? I mean, they are good looking. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I have to try to find some logic
Master
in this.
Master Raymond
shit.
Is not good looking.
It makes no sense. No, I'm not talking about Master Raymond. I'm talking about Saint-Germain. Fuck around. Oh. That man is fine as hell. I was like, God, maybe I would have saved his ass too. Like, let's just make a little pact that we're not going to try to kill each other anymore.
If Jamie is stuck in the Bastille, there we go.
I'm just saying. Oh, okay. Hold on. I just want to say one more thing, right, about Claire. She, again, is on the forefront of fashion. Maybe it's more so Master Raymond, but she, I didn't say she brought back the mood ring, but she started the mood ring. Remember the necklace?
Yes.
I was like, let me find out.
That was it.
You remember mood rings? You put it on. And
I thought you were going to say the moo moo. I was like, yeah, I mean.
My brain went to Friends. I'm like, the moo point? It's a moo point. It's like a cow's opinion. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no. No, I was thinking about the mood rings. I was like, look at Claire being fashion forward. Her little ring changes colors when you're about to get poisoned. I like it.
I love that.
That's awesome.
I didn't understand the whole thing about the snake, though. Why didn't she just let them get bit by the snake? It would have taken care of the problem.
I think she was going to have to handle the snake and bring it or that something like that. I can't remember. It's been a really long time since I read Dragonfly and Amber, and I'm going to have to do an entire reread. And
do you think that Louis wanted to sleep with Claire even more after he realized she was like a legit witch? Because you could see like, I don't know, like he had something in his eyes when he saw her give the potion to them. He was like, oh, she's the real deal. I'm about to fuck a witch. Like, this is going to be great.
All 2 minutes of it. Sorry, 2 seconds of it.
Bro, he was an old 3 pumps and a grind.
Well, he didn't finish. Whenever he extracted that sort of payment from women or when he had mistresses or whatever, because he did not want to have little illegitimate heirs running around.
Only with his wife. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, so. I will say that will bring me to my what if question a little bit later then.
Oh, no, let's do it now.
What if he got Claire pregnant? How would that story have changed? I thought about that. I didn't know about him not wanting to have a bunch of bastards running around, but I thought to myself, what if he had got her pregnant? How would that story have changed for everybody? How soon can you get pregnant after you have a baby? I don't know how much time went by since she had lost her baby and she had laid down with Louis, but I felt like that she was at some risk of getting pregnant.
It depends on your cycle. So you can technically, within a month or two, I think they tell you to wait 6 months, but it's only because you'll probably have another miscarriage.
If you do it too soon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, if Claire got pregnant by Louis, would Louis just let Jamie rot in jail? Or would he be like, all right, you're going to get out, you're going to raise my kid, and I'm going to let you live in France without any issues because you should be dead since you dueled anyway?
That is too much for my brain to handle right now.
Oh, no, I thought about it. I was like, why? I mean, because they don't use protection. Like,
if he finished inside her, I think she would have taken whatever potion or whatever herb she needed from Master Raymond, whatever she bought for Suzette to make sure she didn't get knocked up by Murtaugh. She would have been raiding that supply.
I mean, she wouldn't have had the opportunity because my boy was gone. He was like banished. Wasn't he banished though? He was like, get out of here. Don't ever come back to France. And all of his shit got destroyed. She would have been screwed.
But whatever she picked up for Suzette, she had it in the house. So,
no, that's.
I love how she left afterwards and she's like, I'm taking this orange with me. It's mine. Mm-hmm. I earned it.
Like, that's the one thing you would have took? I'm like, give me all this shit.
I'm hungry.
I would have taken the whole bowl of oranges. I would have walked out with the whole thing. I will say that toward the end when Jamie gets out and him and Claire are upstairs talking, I kind of went back and forth. I was upset with Claire for how she was treating him because I'm like, he didn't know that she knew why he had done what he had done. And so he was struggling with that because he had to find a reasonable explanation for what he did. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he'd been gone for, what, 2-3 months at that point, been sitting in jail or whatever, and she went through this miscarriage alone. So, like, he was going through a lot just by himself. He had no knowledge of anything that had happened. He didn't know if Claire had died during the miscarriage. He didn't know if the baby made it. Yep. He didn't know the sex of the child. He didn't know if he was going to live. He didn't know what happened to Fergus. He was sitting on that for weeks.
I was thinking about that as he was walking up the stairs. What must it have been like for him with no news, locked in a fucking prison again, suffering knowing that his child had probably died and wondering whether his wife had died, all alone, not getting any information. How devastating.
And that's why I was so upset. I wouldn't say upset. I was kind of pissed about the way she was being toward him. And I get it. This is one of those moments, again, that I get kind of ticked off with this show. It reminded me of Bree and Roger and Ian and Jamie's situation when no one communicated and everybody was talking around each other and they could have figured out that Roger was the same as fucking Mackenzie. And none of this misunderstanding would have happened had somebody just opened their fucking mouth and said something.
Let's not forget Lizzie in that situation.
Yeah, Lizzie. Yeah, Lizzie was the problem. You know, Fergus didn't feel comfortable telling Claire what happened because he got taken away from the brothel and Jamie said he would take care of him. And now that Jamie's in prison, he feels like it's his fault because he didn't stay put. He thinks that maybe Claire will throw him out on the street. Like, it's your fault that my husband went to jail and I lost my baby. He's a kid. He doesn't know.
It's horrible.
So, like, he doesn't open his mouth until it's far too late to say anything. I wouldn't say it's far too late, but at that point it was. So she's going through her emotional turmoil. Jamie's going through his. And her solution is, I'm going to be a bitch right now. And she's allowed to have those feelings. I just, as an outsider looking in, I'm like, all of this could have been prevented if somebody just opened their fucking mouth and said something. A lot of that happens in the Outlander series.
It's true. I mean, Jamie does bear a little bit of responsibility for that, although she didn't have to go chase him down in the woods for the duel. Like, the note that he left her, I'm sorry, I must.
Should have been enough.
What, you couldn't have, like,
sat at home and waited for him to get there?
That should not have been enough. He could have written the reason why he had to go duel with Blackjack Randall. You could have written something more than, I'm sorry, I must.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
And take off for the woods.
Was it in the book?
She could have just taken him, I don't know. She could have just taken him at his word and waited for him to come home, but
yeah,
duh. Do you know your wife or not?
I know.
Like, she's not going to come after you for an explanation? Come on. Not that he deserves anything. He feels bad enough. Oh, I did want to talk about the parallel, how this episode started out and Claire, they didn't show everything. I mean, they showed her in the hospital and you know that she lost the baby, but they tell the rest of the story in a flashback after Jamie comes home from the Bastille.
Mm-hmm.
Where Louise comes in and visits her and Claire is holding Faith. And that whole part, Louise asks if she can hold the baby. And it parallels how the story of Jamie's assault was told in To Ransom a Man's Soul, where it's told in flashback, not in real time. And I thought that was a good narrative device rather than showing everything that happened to Claire right at the beginning. You kind of see it at the end and think back to the devastation when she came home and all the servants were waiting to greet her. It really is a good back and forth going back in time to the flashback and coming back to her telling Jamie about it.
I think it was a great way to do it too.
Yeah. I do. I didn't think about that. I was just kind of replaying it in my head. And I'm like, that's a really good point. But I will tell you, we've talked about this before. Jamie has the most ride or die crew anyone could possibly ask for. Between Murtaugh giving Hookers the Heisman, Fergus still in shit for him. And then Claire really was like, nah, I'll fuck somebody to get you out of jail. And then Jenny, his sister, leaves her days old baby with her husband that's partially disabled that really can't help that much. And a nursemaid. And I'm like, do you understand how blessed you are? Like, you have a whole crew that's literally willing to die for your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can barely get a text back from my friends. These people are willing to do some pretty shady shit for you.
Well, in fairness, he would lay down his body or lay down his life for their protection as well.
I know, but he's just one man.
That's some dedication.
He's got a whole entire crew from the top to the bottom. He's got somebody for everything. I guess that's what it takes to be, what do they call it?
King of all men.
You got to have a crew like that. Otherwise, you can't be.
Right.
I'm going to be the queen of all women fucking around with him.
This just occurred to me because I do still have the episode playing in the background. What I said about Katrina showing all the emotion of Claire in the beginning and then pulling the emotions in and reining them down really tight. The part with the flashback, it goes back to what we saw with the breakdown at the beginning of the episode where all the emotions come out, the devastation. That's a very interesting editing trick or concept or choice on the part of the showrunners. In the present moment that she's talking to Jamie, she is not crying or maybe just a single tear here and there, but really barely able to speak to him. But in the flashback, you see more of the eruption of emotion within her. I really like how the show throws you from one extreme to the other, and you think that you're not going to have all of the rawness from the early in the episode, but then they throw you back into the flashback and you do feel that again.
I'm telling you, this episode is a range of emotions. It really is.
Hell yeah.
It's a great episode. I enjoyed watching it again.
My first thought when she said, where's my baby? Where's my baby? My thought was, give her the damn baby. Let her see her baby. Because that is one of the things that they do in the hospital when you've lost your baby. If you want to, you can hold your baby and you can spend time with your baby as long as you want. Mm-hmm. It was so nice towards the end watching her being able to hold the baby.
To get that fulfillment.
Yes.
And you thought that you weren't going to get it.
Right. And that whole empathetic feeling that it sounds like we all felt, they put us in that room with her. It was so raw and so beautiful.
That was such a beautiful moment and comment. Thank you, Meg. But of course, I'm going to say the things that I say.
Yeah.
No, so like we're getting toward the end here, right? They talk about like we're never going to be the same again after like spending this time in France. And I don't recall how long they were there. But I was just like, y'all fucked up a lot of shit in France. His cousin's going to come back and be like, what the fuck is going on? And then you're like, you know what? Let's take this show on the road. Let's go to Scotland and fuck some shit up there. What is with this couple?
Mm-hmm. No, they just wanted to go live in peace in Scotland.
Don't bring that bullshit back to my house.
It wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault. They were just going to live a peaceful farming life at Lallybroch.
Oh, sure they were. Okay. I would have cut ties with everybody in France. I'm like, you know what? This never happened. Bye.
What happens in France stays in France.
Stays in France, exactly. But they brought that shit to Lollybrock, man. Jenny's like, what the fuck?
I liked you when you left. What happened?
Freaking French.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's a great conclusion to this episode. We'll see what happens next. This episode was brought to you by...
Brought to you by what? Lord. Finish that sentence.
Oh my gosh. Fuck around and find out.
Two thumbs up on that one.
My gosh. It was great. I enjoyed this episode. It was emotional, but it was worth the ride.
Although...
Pretty good idea.
I will say I'm not a huge fan of books. Of Sam Heughan and his scruffy beard. No, thank you.
That is not his beard.
Oh, that wasn't?
No.
Of course not. Okay, girl. Good. It looked like he had the mange. There's no way his beard grew in like that.
Well, I don't know how much facial hair he has, Ivy.
I imagine. I mean, I'm surprised you don't.
You have to look at that movie When the Starlight Ends. That is his actual beard. It's from 2016. And he can't grow a full beard. And that beard in Faith was fake. Because when the man grows his own facial hair, I mean, the stubble, hell yeah, give me the scruff. But there's not enough to make a full beard on his face. Like, it is some scraggly, snaggle-tooth
Let me see.
Shit.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you.
Okay, you know what? First of all, we can all take some constructive criticism. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't love that man. I would take him in any form. But if you ever try that shit again, Sam, we will have to talk. You're not going to come out here looking like that ever again. I don't care what kind of money they're paying you.
Nope.
You are not coming out of the house looking like that ever again.
All done. Mm-mm. All done.
Never again. I mean, I love behind the scenes moments like that, right? Because it kind of like, I guess for me, it's like not everything's serious. I mean, you guys know I don't take shit seriously. Yeah. I try to, I really do, but it's really hard for me sometimes simply because there's a lot of serious shit happening and I just want to laugh sometimes. But I like seeing behind the scenes stuff like that because when I see it on the show, I'm just like, God damn, that shit looks rough. He lived in a fucking cave.
I know that actors are pampered and there's a lot of sit around and wait and stuff, but the conditions that the Outlander crew shoots in, like 8 months a year, I cannot begin to imagine how you can act and convey all the emotion that these people do while your body is being assaulted by the elements and it's 0 degrees Celsius or worse. How in the hell do you keep a straight face? And there's a camera in your face, and there's so many different things happening all around you, and you manage to find the focus.
I would like to just offer this up as an explanation. See, yes. Direct deposit. Because, bitch, I can do anything for a couple $1 million. Oh, you want me to sit out here with some chicken grease on? Yep, I'll do that shit naked. Yes, that's how they do it. I don't care what you ask me to do. I know they are getting paid. What you want me to do? Okay, I'll do that. I'll be that rock on the ground. I do not care. I will do whatever you need me to do. Call me Professor Dumbledore.
I'll do everything once.
Once? If they say cut, let's do it again. You won't do it again?
It depends.
I think I would. Is it my turn next week?
Yes.
I think I'm going to go with episode 13. I want to do both 12 and 13 because there's parts of 13 that make sense with 12. But I think that I'll do the last episode.
All right.
And then we'll see what happens with the honorable mentions. So
next week, we're going to be doing a little bit of 212 and a whole lot of 213. That's where we're going. That's where we're going to call it a night.
Perfect.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just yawned in the middle of this.
I'm so tired.
All right. I'm going to shut this shit down. So good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you all for listening. You can find us, follow and message us on Instagram at Outlander with Friends, and we love to hear from you. We're now available on all major podcast apps, and if you leave us a great rating, it helps more people find us. Listen next week for more TMI. Don't say we didn't warn you.